Well, good morning. Good to see everybody. We on a special holiday weekend, we always worry that more may be leaving than coming, but good to see you today, and we look forward to good service this morning. A lot of folks probably come on in at 11. Appreciate what Brother Parsons calls it. He calls it Resurrection Sunday, and that's what it is. And of course, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday in a sense. But we're going to say something about that in a minute. I want you to go with me, though, quickly here to 3 John. Just want to wrap it up real quick, and then I'm going to move to something else for just a little bit here. But 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we've been going through it chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And of course, these are epistles, these are letters written by the Apostle John to the churches. One of them's addressed to the elect lady, but he's talking about the church. And then we get to 3 John, the shortest book in the Bible here. It's got actually one more verse than 2 John, but still it's 4 words shorter. So it's the shortest book. And here in 3 John, he addresses it to a man in the church, good man in the church. And still he's writing to all of us in the Christian family. If you're born again, you're part of the family of God, then the truth is, this is for you and I, and it's written to us, not written to lost people. There are books in the Bible. In fact, John, when he wrote the Gospel of John, I always recommend it to others, that if you got a lost friend, loved one, you want them to tell them to read the Bible. Take them to the Gospel of John. It is simple and clear, and it's talking about the deity of Christ and how to believe on him and be saved. And so that's a good one to take them to. Now, finishing up 3 John here, written to Gaius here, a man in the church. He mentions 2 men. One man wants to have preeminence over everybody else, and he kind of condemns him for it. The other man receives the brethren, and so he commends him. Now, we got that far already, so we're just going to read the last couple of verses. Notice here, in verse 13, he said, I had many things to write, but I will not write, not with ink and pen, write unto thee. Now, that's what he was writing with. Somebody says, they have ink back then, or listen. They had a whole lot more than you think they had. Way back then, some of that ink they used is still the best that they record even today. But yes, he wrote with ink and pen. And sometimes you see some nuts say, well, you know, they didn't have writing back in the days of Moses. You ought to nail your tongue to a post and walk off. You don't know peanuts. Amen. The truth is, God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger. You read it close there, brother. You can't beat that. And then God used men to preserve his word. That's why we have it totally preserved today. But then John says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee. He was coming, planning to go in apparently. And we shall speak face to face. By the way, that's still the best way. Did you know that? Not so much of it anymore. It used to be the handshake counted. Don't count much anymore. You can have a stack of papers that thick, sign every one of them, and there'll still be some lawyer that'll try to break the agreement. Randy Smith's back there somewhere. Where you at, Brother Smith? Did he go outside to take a smoke or what? I'm joking at him. I hope you know that. Anyway, I don't see him, but when we were redoing the church mortgage, thank God no mortgage. It's been burned a long time ago, but paid off and burned. We were redoing the church mortgage one time, and in one of the back bookkeeping offices back here, we had a table spread out with all the papers. We had lawyers on one side, no argument going, just lawyers, you know, overwatching everything. And Brother Smith buzzed me, said, come over, it's time to sign the papers. And I went over there. He said, you better sit down. I sat down in the chair, and he stood there and flipped the pages. And I had to sign, and I had to sign, and I had to sign, and I had to sign. I am not kidding you, that went on for over 15 minutes, signing my name, signing my name. I thought, what trouble was I getting in when I learned to sign my name in the first grade? Sign my name, sign my name. But you know what? That's the world now. It's still sometimes not worth the paper it's written on if somebody wants to fight it and break it in court. Anyway, face to face, that's still the best way, looking a guy in the eye, amen? And that's what he said. He wanted to see him face to face. Said, peace be to thee, our friends salute thee, greet the friends by name. So I'm going to call that done now on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And now I want you to go to Acts chapter 12, and we're changing subject just a little bit, fitting the occasion today. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the word Easter. We call it Easter Sunday. Last Sunday we call it Palm Sunday, when the Lord came riding in on the donkey and the kids spread the clothes and the branches in front of him and all that, and that's fine. Easter Sunday is a big tradition. Like a lot of traditions, it's not accurate. Like a lot of traditions, it's just passed on. It is amazing as human beings how we can remember the tradition and miss the truth behind what it's supposed to be so much of the time. It's a legitimate question to ask, what does eggs and rabbits have to do with the resurrection? Nothing. That's tradition, amen. That's all in the world it is. I know the explanation. Well, eggs bring forth life. Rabbits don't lay eggs to start with. I never seen one do it, do you? Mama never said go out and hunt the rabbit nest. Go out and hunt the chicken nest and find the egg, amen. But all that kind of foolishness, we understand that. But I know the explanation, eggs and the picture of life and all this kind of stuff. And I guess the rabbit's famous for reproducing fast and all that business. But really, it's nothing but tradition. Now, if you want to research it, you can go back hundreds of years and read about it. In fact, let me say this. The pagan Easter that is celebrated today, that most folks, and I grew up as a kid knowing, all I knew about Easter was we were probably going to get a stuffed rabbit and some pretty candy eggs. You remember that? Now, I never ate the rabbit, but I did enjoy the candy eggs, amen? But I knew nothing about it. I didn't go to church. Family wasn't in church. Nobody explained what Easter was about. I didn't know. I thought it was about rabbits and eggs, like most kids do. And that's an injustice to kids. I remember I hired a teacher here, Brother Bert, in Christian school many years ago. She came to me. School had already started, been going about this time of year. And she was a Christian, but she was teaching in the state school. And so they told them to do a bulletin board depicting Easter. Well, she went in and drew an empty tomb with a stone rolled away correctly. She got fired. They told her to change it. Had to be rabbits and eggs. She said, no, that's not what it's about. She came to me and she said, told me the story. I said, that must be God, because I need a teacher right now. And I hired her right on the spot, and she was a good lady. But the truth of the matter is, people can't handle the truth anymore. It's amazing how they can't handle the truth. But not to do with rabbits and eggs, but it has to do with the resurrection. But Ishtar, Ishtar, was the way it was, the Babylonian Easter. That was a long time before Christ was ever born, before he was ever crucified, before there ever was a resurrection. Pagans in Rome and Babylon and places were celebrating Ishtar or Easter. You can check that out. There's even some references to it in the Bible. Otherwise, I won't go to. But I'm going to answer this question, and I'm going to try to be on the short leash this morning. Why does the King James Bible then use the word Easter? Did you go to Acts chapter 12? Let's read it. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. This is the early church now. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then in parentheses, and rightfully so, says, then were the days of unleavened bread. That's the important statement there. Verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him into prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, there's the word. Critics of the King James Bible. So well, it uses the word Easter. It sure does, and rightly so. I'll tell you in just a moment why it's right. Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know the rest of the story, how God delivered him and how the young maiden at the door couldn't believe the prayer was answered. Even though she couldn't believe it was Peter at the door, though they'd been praying for God. It kind of reminds me of the story where the bar burned down, liquor bar burned down, and the bartender wanted to sue the church and got them in court because they'd prayed against his bar. And so the judge heard the case and he said, pastor and deacon stood up, oh no, we're not at fault. And the bartender said, yeah, they prayed for my place to be destroyed. Judge said, I really got a dilemma. Said, here I've got a church that don't believe in prayer being answered, and a bartender that does. How do I rule on this? Now, that's kind of funny. But the maiden didn't believe it, but God released Peter. And there he was knocking on the door while he was still praying for him to be released. But this was the occasion here where he'd taken Peter, he'd killed James, but he postponed it just a little bit. If you notice here in the verse, he was waiting for his Easter. And keep that important thought in mind. It was the days of unleavened bread. That was 7 days that went along with Passover. See, Passover and Easter fall very much, most of the time, very close together. The Jewish Passover and the pagan Easter. Now, here you got Herod the king. Who was he? He was employed by the Roman government. If he got a paycheck, it was from Rome. He was a government official. So what was he doing? He was celebrating his government holiday. They called it Easter, rightly so, because it was the Roman Easter. That's why it's in the King James Bible, because we have almost 50 translators that knew the languages, knew all about it. All 50 of them didn't make a mistake. They all did it on purpose because they could read and get the thing in context. I'm so ashamed today sometime of good Christians that just don't read the Bible in context. You ought to understand who's speaking, who's been spoken about the subject. If you don't, you're liable to take something the devil says. He does say some things in the Bible, you know. Or you're going to take some heretic. Yeah, there's some verses in the Bible, but every one of them's not directed at you. You got to rightly divide it. Understand that. So here, the question is easily answered. When somebody says, oh, the King James Bible's got the word Easter. Yes, rightly so. It's talking about a pagan Easter that King Herod was celebrating. Yes, the word can be from the Greek. It can go and be interpreted, translated as Easter or Passover. In fact, the same word, I won't ask you to turn to it for time's sake, but the same word you could find in Mark chapter 14 talking about the Passover, and they'll say, well, it was translated Passover here, over here. Yes, because Passover was in the context. It's translated Easter here because the pagan Easter was in context. And if you get that, you won't have a bit of trouble understanding. No, almost 50 translators did not make a mistake. They knew what they were doing. And if you want to trace the beginning of Easter, you go back to the pagan religion. You go back to the worship of Ishtar. And you go back and you Even some of the books got some, I've seen some pictures in some of the books where it's got a big old rabbit rolling a great big old egg bigger than him. And that was being talked about way before Christ was ever born. So it was in the context of the paganism. You got to understand, when Jesus walked on earth, Rome was in charge of Jerusalem. The Jews were captive to Rome. Now, it is true that the Roman government, to have peace and all that, allowed them great freedoms, but still they were under the control of Rome. And so Herod here was an appointment by the Roman government, by the Caesars, he was Jewish. He knew the feast, the Jewish law and all that, every bit of it. So Herod knew it was probably Passover time, almost the same as Easter, but he was postponing killing Peter. Of course, God was in the postponement, we understand that. But he was postponing until he got through with his festival day, which is what Easter was. It was they probably grabbed for all the gusto they could. They were probably doing all, that got me on a thought. I'll not say this probably. Anybody see that stupid little man on TV claiming he's a woman, advertising Budweiser? I'm gonna quit drinking Bud. All right, that'll go all over the air now. I quit long time ago. I never started very much, but at 22 years old, I got saved, and I've never tasted another beer since then. But if I was, I'd quit over that commercial. And all you redneck guys that you're going to keep your gun till they pry your dead fingers off of it, I'm all for you. You ought to quit it too. When you got a transvestite, queer man trying to pretend he's a woman, advertising what they always tried to advertise it. You know, you had to be a man to drink beer. Not now. You got to be queer to drink it. I'm being a little mean, but I enjoy it. Ridiculous. Sure it is. Sure it is. But there you go. All right, back to my subject. You got me off there. Back to my subject. They translated the word correctly in the context to be Herod's Easter. Dr. Phil Stranger was with us a long time in the college, and he did a little booklet, a message and research on the word itself coming to be translated Easter, or it could be translated Passover. And he showed that probably in the early beginning it was translated probably more Easter than Passover. But it don't matter. It's which one are you talking about in context. And in context here, it was Herod's Easter. He was postponing it to kill Peter till he got through with his holiday parties. That's about what it amounted to. And it had a Babylonian beginning, of course. The translators in England, 1611, King James coming through them, you got to remember that Catholicism and Protestantism was in a big major war over who was going to rule England. For sometimes the Catholics were in power, and sometimes the Protestants were in power, and there was a warfare going on over that. So the translators at that time would have been very much into that warfare. They would not have for a second put the word Easter in there, meaning the pagan Easter for Christians. No way. So they understood it was Herod's Easter all the time. Now, when Constantine came to the throne in about roughly 303, 306 AD, when he came into power in Rome, the Christians had done their job so well that the Roman Empire had been infiltrated by Christians. Christians were in the Roman Senate. They were all over the place, and Constantine was a wise enough politician that when he came in, he knew his power base. He could no longer have that division there, so he united Christianity with paganism. That's why we still have some of the pagan holidays compromised into Christianity, justified, and all that. Now, you and I as Christians, we can still use them. Somebody, if you're out here talking to somebody and they say, well, what about Easter? Tell them in a nice way, yeah, we'd like to have you come Sunday. We're going to have a big service on Easter Sunday. We're going to preach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the real meaning. And get down to the truth. You can take those things to be a good witness. You don't have to offend anybody. When the liberals started a war on Christmas and that say holiday blessings, I think Shirley back there told me this morning that the headline in the Ledger was celebrating Earth Day. Can't celebrate Easter because there's too many folks know it is connected with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now they're calling it Earth Day. Listen, folks, we are in a day and time when Christianity has gone world circle around back to where we're almost as much under attack now as it got in the days of Rome. The liberal media now don't even want to use the word Christian in the right way. It's moving fast. It's moving fast. And it's just basically open warfare, truthfully, on Christianity. Isn't it amazing how the Bible predicted those days would come and how they have come? And that's where we're at. Jesus predicted that. You read Matthew chapter 24 and places where he predicted that day would come. And boy, it is here. Isaiah, even a long time before Jesus was born, said that day would come where they would call evil good and good evil. Now, when you read about the 28-year-old woman going in, shooting up the Christian school and killing the students, that's where we're at. Because the media took it and spun it around to make the shooter the victim. It's crazy. They tell you today, don't believe what your eyes see and what your ears hear. Believe what we tell you to believe. That's where we're at today. Even what you think is under attack today. It is amazing. And sadly we see that. Now we're praying the Lord's going to come soon. But if he don't, I was preaching to the college Thursday night. And I told them they had the opportunity to live this 11th hour and make it the finest hour. It's how we finish up is going to be very important. What are we going to do in these last days? Are we going to stand true? Are we going to fall for everything? Are we going to keep contending for the faith? Too many are going to run and hide and not let nobody know they believe because it's not popular now. In fact, it's basically under attack is what it is. But the answer here, now, I'm not just beating a dead horse. I've been to too many preachers' meetings and heard preachers that I thought knew better get up and say something negative about the King James Bible having the word Easter. Now, I can't do it from the audience. I never would. By the way, you're never smart to holler at the person that's got the microphone. Did you get what I just said? He can talk louder than you can. But I have been in some meetings where I wanted to just get a hold of some preacher and say, wake up. Read what the text says. The text, you don't need to go to any research books. Just read to what the text says. The text says it was the days of unleavened bread, 7 days. Unleavened bread, Passover involved with that. But Herod was waiting till the pagan Roman Easter holiday was celebrated. Then he was going to take care of Peter, but of course God intervened. But anyway, we're in that day and time now to where even people... Listen, just because you hear something online, especially, hear something, you better check out the source. If the source it's coming from is wrong, it's going to be wrong. And the right source is the Word of God, always the Word of God. And you believe it first. And somebody that don't line up with that, they're just wrong. That's all there is to it. And as God's believers, we ought to be wise to those things. The truth here that I'm talking about is something that needs to be presented in several different places. The dates on Passover and Easter are still close together. And that pagan Easter is one thing. Resurrection Sundays, it's okay for us to make a fuss over the resurrection. Do you understand Christianity is unique because of the resurrection? You know, in Judaism, the Jews looked toward Jerusalem when they prayed, like Daniel did in the book of Daniel. Okay, if they're still practicing Judaism, that's still something they were to do. Muslims look toward Mecca. But Christians look toward heaven because we have a resurrected Savior. That's where he's at. There's a big difference. All religions believe in some kind of life after death, but only Christianity teaches the resurrection. Not only absent from the body, present with the Lord, with our soul, but one day at the resurrection, when the trumpet sounds, even these old bodies are going to be called back and renewed and become immortal. Death, the last enemy, can claim the body for a while. Even if it's gone to dust, even if it's blown to smithereens, but God is going to put it back together. We're going to have a resurrection morning. My, that's something to shout about. That's something to, I don't know about you, but I've pretty well used this vehicle I call a body up, hadn't you? Preacher friend of mine just about my age said something that I think about a lot of mornings when I wake up. He said, when I wake up in the morning, I move real slow to see what is going out during the night. Now, I won't ask for hands, but that covers a bunch of us, don't it? Wearing it out, getting all the mileage out of it I can. But I got a new one coming, and it won't wear out. Amen. And that's what the resurrection is. He lives, we shall also live. As he arose, we shall also arise. And so I wanted to cover that because I've so many times even heard some preachers that I want to say, wake up, you're reading it wrong. It's in the context. Herod wanted to observe his Easter before he killed Peter. It had nothing to do with the Jewish Passover coming at the same time in that period of time separating their 7 days of unleavened bread. You study the Passover. All right. I'm going to dismiss just a little early because the choir leader asked me to, and he had his hand in his pocket, and I don't know whether he's tearing or not. So it'll be your opportunity while he gets the choir symbol for you if you need to go to the restroom or fellowship a little bit, about 7 or 8 minutes, and we'll get the preaching service started.